The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Coral W. Peach presiding. God bless the United States and this honorable court.
Thank you, Mr. Block. Good afternoon. This is Judge Peach, and I'm joined by Judge Greenberg and Judge Meredith. We are convened today via video teleconference to consider the arguments in the matter of Robert J. Brea versus Robert L. Wilkie, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, case number 19-4625. Will counsel, beginning with appellant's counsel, please make your appearance for our record.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. My name is Ethan Marin. With me for the appellant is Jeannie Mark.
Joseph, appearing with Stuart Anderson for the Secretary, Your Honor.
Thank you. Does appellant's counsel wish to reserve time for rebuttal?
Yes, 10 minutes, Your Honor.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. If counsel are ready, let's begin with appellant's counsel. Mr. Marin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the court. Mr. Brea is entitled to a grant of SMCK because his service-connected hepatitis C creates a loss of sexual function, to wit, the ability to have unprotected sexual intercourse without the risk of transmitting a potentially life-threatening virus. The board decision on appeal implicitly found that Mr. Brea does in fact use condoms to prevent the spread of this virus, but denied entitlement to SMCK because there was no evidence the veteran would be infertile if he refrained from using a condom. This denial was improper and should be reversed for two reasons. First, because the underlying service-connected disability, hepatitis C infection, is present constantly, whether the veteran is using a condom or not, and produces a loss of sexual function, the ability to have safe, unprotected intercourse, whether the veteran is using a condom or not. Moreover, the board's reliance upon the fact that the veteran can remove a condom is immaterial because there's no requirement in entitlement to SMCK for the veteran's loss of use to of sexual function to have no volitional component. It doesn't matter that the veteran technically chooses to wear a condom. The reason we know this is that in a related portion of the regulation, the secretary did impose that sort of bar on a voluntary component to entitlement to SMC. In particular, with regard to SMCL, SMC for aid in attendance or bedridden status, VA's regulations clearly stipulate that in order for a veteran to be entitled to SMC because of his bedridden status, he has to be required by the disability to confine him or herself to bed. Merely choosing to confine oneself to bed won't do it. The secretary could have added a similar provision to the regulation for SMCK, stipulating that a voluntary alteration in sexual function, even if caused by a service-connected disability, will not suffice. The secretary didn't do that, and the board, in effect, read a requirement, which does exist for SMCL, into SMCK. This the board cannot do. And the undisputed facts before VA in the instant matter compel a grant of SMC. The board found that the veteran's service-connected disability causes him to wear condoms specifically to prevent the transmission of hepatitis C, and nothing further is required. because the board's denial has no factual or regulatory basis, reversal is the appropriate outcome here. With regard to the board's denial of entitlement to a compensable rating prior to...
Before you move on to your next argument, if I could jump in there. So if I understand your briefing and the arguments you're making, you're not contending that the appellant actually has any physical or mental impairment that interferes with procreation. You're suggesting that a change in behavior should warrant an SMCK award. So if I could go back to the statute and 1114K, which is what you're seeking benefits under, and Chapter 11 in general, is it consistent with that provision specifically and with Chapter 11 in general to award benefits in the absence of a disability, of a physical or mental impairment? Isn't the statutory scheme in general aimed at compensating for disability?
Your Honor, the veteran does have a physical disability in this case. That disability is his service-connected hepatitis C infection. Both the statute and the regulation direct that SMCK will be granted when, as a result of the service-connected disability, as a result of the service-connected disability, the veteran experiences loss of use of a creative organ. That is precisely this case. The veteran's hepatitis C infection, a physical disability, causes him to rely upon condoms. Moreover, to be clear, Your Honor, although that alteration would be sufficient in itself, there's a more fundamental physical alteration that Mr. Brea experiences, as we noted in our reply brief, which is that the virus itself, in addition to producing this change in sexual behavior, causes a physical change, a risk of virus transmission. This is a physical disability, and as such, warrants a grant of SMCK, just as any other physical alteration to the structure or function of a creative organ would.
I could bring you back to the statutory language. 1114K talks about loss of use of a creative organ. You're not saying he has a physical or mental impairment of the creative organ. Later on in that provision, in 1114K, it says that in the event the veteran has suffered one or more of the disabilities heretofore specified in this subsection, then it specifies a particular rate of pay. Does that not suggest that all of the conditions listed in 1114K, including loss of use of a creative organ, that has to amount to a disability to warrant compensation under that section?
Your Honor, no, I don't believe it does. The reason being that the distinction between SMCK and service connection, and this was the holding of Payne, is that SMCK doesn't require the presence of a currently service-connected disability in the creative organ. It's not contingent on a current service-connected disability. It's contingent solely upon loss of use or anatomical loss due to a service-connected disability. And so once the veteran has a service-connected disability at the start of that causal chain, our view is that that satisfies the requirement for a current disability.
1114K, even though it specifies disabilities, that the end of the causal chain does not have to be a disability in your view, even though 1114K specifically mentions disabilities, referring back to loss of use of a creative organ?
Yes, Your Honor. 38 U.S.C. 114K is clear that the, I beg your pardon, that the currently service-connected disability prong is satisfied once there's a service-connected disability at the start of that causal chain. After that start of the causal chain, it can be followed even by things such as obesity, which are not only not disabilities, but cannot be service-connected disabilities under VA's rules. Those were the facts of pain, where the theory of entitlement to SMCK was that arm disabilities contributed to obesity, which then contributed to erectile dysfunction.
Physical impairment was at the end of the causal chain.
Yes, Your Honor. In pain, there was. But here, the causal chain is even shorter. The service-connected disability itself, hepatitis C, creates a risk of virus, of sexual virus transmission. In other words, Your Honor, there are two avenues of entitlement to SMCK here. The first and most straightforward is that the veteran is entitled, I beg your pardon, that the veteran has hepatitis C, and hepatitis C is sexually transmissible. This is in itself a physical alteration of the creative organ.
Wait just a minute. May I interrupt? This is Judge Greenberg.
Of course.
You say it's automatic. Is that really so? His sexual organ works. It's just that he chooses not to have it work unless he's wearing a condom. What if it were a psychological impairment that prevented the use of the sexual organ, which physically works?
In fact, Your Honor, thank you, Your Honor. In fact, the Secretary's guidance within the M21 stipulates that loss of libido or sexual drive due to a psychological disorder may in fact establish entitlement to SMCK, which is the other salient fact here, that the Secretary's guidance with regard to SMCK has never required a physical disability at the end of the causal chain. Whether in reference to the M21 guidance regarding psychiatric disabilities leading to loss of libido, or indeed when Congress enacted the current version of the statute and the Secretary's comments emphasized that loss of use may be shown with no impairment of reproductive function whatsoever. I beg your pardon.
I can interrupt you, though. I believe VA's views on the proposed change also talked about that there had to be a loss of bodily integrity or considerable emotional distress. So again, some type of physical or mental impairment of the veteran himself or herself in that case.
Here, Your Honor, both of those elements are satisfied. The veteran has a physical impairment, to wit, the risk of hepatitis C transmission, and the mental impairment, the emotional component, the fear, to wit, the fear of transmitting hepatitis C to a loved one. At the end of the day, Your Honors, the legislative history, as well as the current regulatory language, and this court's own holding in pain, contemplate a broad standard for I beg your pardon, for entitlement to SMCK. A de minimis impairment of sexual function, which is a threshold that Mr. Priya easily clears. Your honors, may I move on to the scheduler issue in the incident appeal?
I actually have a few more questions on this
of course.
Topic before you move on. So under your theory, how would this work? Would SMCK be based on literally the veteran's day-to-day choices as to whether or not to use protection?
The question there, Your Honor, would be a factual matter. There are two aspects of this. The disease state of the veteran is constant and is not contingent upon his day-to-day choices. And so if this court, one way that the court could hold in Mr. Bria's favor is to determine that because the alteration in sexual function, this risk of virus transmission is constant, that satisfies the requirement for that de minimis loss of sexual function. Alternatively, the court may determine that as long as the causal chain leads from the service-connected disability to the veteran's alteration in sexual habit, that establishes entitlement to SMCK. Judge Meredith, I think the question you were asking was, what if that choice changes from day to day? The way the board can...
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I wanted to clarify a point that you were making. Were you just suggesting that SMCK could be paid even for a veteran with hepatitis C, even if they choose to have unprotected intercourse, that it's not dependent on how they choose to protect or not protect themselves or their partners?
Correct, Your Honor. That would be one avenue of entitlement to SMCK in this case, because the infection state is itself constant and causal. In Mr. Bria's, I'm still there. The other avenue to SMCK, Your Honor, would be that the service-connected disorder has caused an alteration in sexual function, just as psychiatric disorders may. And that question as to, well, what if he changes from day to day and whether or not a veteran is using a condom, that would raise in a different case, a factual question for the board, whether in fact that causal chain is intact, whether the service-connected disorder does cause the condom use. Here, however, the board has already made that finding, is already implicitly determined that the veteran's service-connected hepatitis leads to the condom use.
So how is there a loss of use if the veteran were to choose to have unprotected intercourse?
Even in that case, Your Honor, he would still experience an alteration in sexual function and therefore loss of use, because his reproductive organs would run the risk of transmitting hepatitis C. Normal reproductive organs do not function in that way, just as normal male reproductive organs do not experience erectile dysfunction, just as normal reproductive organs don't experience pain on intercourse, just as in a healthy state, veterans won't experience a loss of libido. These are other alterations in sexual function that VA has acknowledged will lead to entitlement to SMCK. And that infected state, that inability to have intercourse without transmitting or risking transmission of the virus is itself a comparable alteration in sexual function. In this case, the argument for SMs, the facts supporting SMCK are stronger because there are at least two of these alterations, both the infected state and, as a result of that infected state, the veteran's use of condoms, which in themselves interfere with fertility. Your Honors, I see that my time is nearly elapsed. May I briefly conclude?
This is Judge Peach. Let's add three more minutes. I have a couple of questions as well. Judge Meredith, do you have further questions?
I don't, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I have a couple of questions. Hepatitis C, is it treatable?
I believe so, Your Honor. I'm not an expert on the matter, but my lay understanding is that the disease is treatable, yes.
And how long has Mr. Breida had Hep C?
He contracted it in military service, so that would have been in the 1970s, Your Honor.
And I thought I read in the record somewhere that he was advised to, it might be a good idea to wear protection.
Yes.
But prior to that, I assume he wasn't wearing protection if he was engaging in activity.
There is some evidence in the record, Your Honor, of unprotected sexual intercourse earlier in 2016. Mm-hmm. However, the veteran's affidavits and that of his romantic partner indicate that he refrains from unprotected sexual activity. Even prior to his condom use, however, the veteran was infected with hepatitis C and therefore unable to engage safely in unprotected intercourse. The fact that he did so may be regrettable, but does not change the fact that he had this alteration in his biological function. Moreover, he subsequently did begin using condoms specifically due to his hepatitis infection. And the causal chain there has been accepted by the board. The board found that causal chain between hepatitis infection and condom use is in fact present. Does that answer Your Honor's question?
Yes, thank you.
In brief conclusion, Your Honors, the veteran's hepatitis C infection produces a risk of virus transmission, which healthy reproductive organs do not possess, and compels the veteran to use condoms, which further impair reproductive function by impairing fertility. Either of these impairments alone would warrant a grant of SMCK. The combination of them clearly warrants it. In particular, the board's factual findings that this causal chain between the hepatitis C and condom use leave no factual basis for a denial of entitlement to SMCK. I thank the court for its time, and if there are no further questions, that would conclude my argument.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Joseph? Mr. Joseph, you can proceed.
Good afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the court. This case is about a decision, an appellant's decision to wear a condom to avoid the transmission of hepatitis C to his partner is not a loss of use of a creative organ. As the board found, there is no evidence that appellant is infertile or that he cannot achieve an erection because of his hepatitis C. The use of a condom is not part of a causal chain, but is a decision made by appellant in the context of a relationship with his partners. The board also provided an adequate statement of reasons or bases in support of its finding that a compensable rating for hepatitis C was not factually ascertainable before May 20th, 2016. The board's finding that use of a condom alone is not a loss of use is consistent with the plain language of 38 U.S.C. Section 1114K and 38 CFR Section 3.350A. Section 1114K provides that a veteran who has suffered the anatomical loss or loss of use of one or more creative organs is entitled to special monthly compensation. In turn, Section 3.350A defines loss of use of a testicle, and Section 3.350A11C defines infertility as the absence of spermatoza, which is confirmed by biopsy. There is no evidence that appellant's hepatitis C causes infertility. The plain language is clear and unambiguous. It requires a loss, and appellant retains the ability to have procreative sex. Appellant's assertion that a change in sexual behavior is a loss of use is not supported by the plain language of the statute or regulation. While neither Congress nor the Secretary define loss of use of a creative organ, except for in Section 3.350, the court has instructed that in the absence of an express definition, we give words their ordinary meaning. In applying dictionary definition terms, a loss of use is a deprivation of a veteran's ability to avail himself of the anatomical region in question. An appellant's hepatitis C has not deprived him of the ability to have normal sexual function. Stated another way, there is no dysfunction or infertility. And consistent with the board's finding, appellant can remove the condom and have normal sexual function. Examples that are consistent with this definition would include a spinal cord injury resulting in loss of feeling of the lower body, or erectile dysfunction as secondary to diabetes, in which case the veteran is unable to avail himself of the creative organ without pharmaceutical intervention. And appellant cites to the general counsel opinions and legislative history in support of his argument, but at most those speak only to a degree of loss. And the degree of loss is not at issue here. It's rather whether the use of a condom is a loss at all. And appellant has no diagnosed sexual dysfunction that is attributable to his hepatitis C. And while hepatitis C is a serious condition, there is no loss. The decision to wear a condom is dependent on appellant's relationship with his partner and is not part of a causal chain. Using a condom is a decision made actively by the partners acting with the advice of medical professionals. And expert evidence in this case, for example, looking at appellant's, the service connection opinion submitted by appellant in April 2010, which is at record at 1656, notes that sexual transmission of hepatitis C is exceedingly rare. And in April 2016, appellant's treating VA provider advised him to wear condoms when having sex outside of a long-term monogamous relationship, and that is at record at 680. So the risk of sexual transmission would seem to be low. While difficult and profound, this ultimately remains a decision. Option A is to refrain from sex without a condom, or option B is to have unprotected sex. A record at 179, which was referenced by appellant, illustrates that appellant has made this decision. In October 2016, appellant reported to a VA provider that he had unprotected intercourse. He was diagnosed with hepatitis C in June 2004, so appellant has made the decision to have unprotected sex while infected with hepatitis C. An appellant's reliance on Payne versus Wilkie is misplaced. That case involved a causal chain where a veteran's service-connected upper extremity disability caused obesity, which in turn caused diabetes, and that led to erectile dysfunction. The court held in that case that the board erred because it failed to consider the merits of appellant's claim. Here, the board entertained appellant's theory and decided it on the merits. And I'd point out that the court in Payne expressly disclaimed any opinion on the merits of the appellant's theory, only that Section 1114K did not foreclose that theory. So appellant's case is distinguishable. The intermediate links in that case were non-service-connected diseases or disabilities. And unlike diabetes, appellant can remove the condom and disrupt the link. Accepting appellant's argument would require that VA award benefits based on the status of the partner and based on decisions made within a relationship, which is a radical departure from the VA benefits scheme, where VA awards benefits based on conditions inherent to the veteran. For example, if we award based on infertility, that would be based on an absence of spermatoza, which would not be based on the context of a relationship. And looking at the affidavits here, which are record 98 and 99, appellant has reported that he refrains from sex and that he would prefer not to do so. And he wears condoms out of fear of transmission. But there's no indication that appellant at this point in his life seeks to have more children. It's just a preference not to use condoms. And appellant has reported in 2013 that he has three children, all of which were born after service. And also the fear of transmission, which seems to be the issue here, is mooted if an appellant's partner has hepatitis C, or if they decide to, after weighing the pros and cons, to have unprotected sex. And again, this would be based on the context of the appellant's relationship.
This is Judge Greenberg. Is everything you're telling us now, was that considered by the board in reaching its determination?
Your Honor, it based that determination on the plain language of Section 1114K.
Well, no, but I mean, you're telling us a series of facts here about the appellant. Where did you get it from? The record made below?
Yes, Your Honor, the rope. Yes,
right.
The record.
So the question is whether the board stated an adequate reasons and bases for its determination, as well as our statutory construction review of the situation. Is that right?
Your Honor, this is simply illustrative of why, as a matter of law, special monthly compensation does not include sexually transmitted infections. And the question for the court is whether the board's determination is arbitrary or capricious. So the board determined that appellant can take, there's no indication that there is a loss, that there is no infertility, that there is no erectile dysfunction.
Thank you.
So again,
let me just interject something. Every lawyer knows the concept of the fertile octogenarian in a different context. What if the appellant is a fertile octogenarian, but he doesn't want any more children, and he happens to have hepatitis C, and he comes before the board and said, look, this is the situation. I want this special monthly compensation under those circumstances.
And Your Honor, there is no evidence that appellant in this case that he desires additional children. And again, we would look to conditions inherent to the veteran, infertility. And again, whether appellant wears a condom in this case is context dependent.
Thank you.
And really with the rule that appellant proposes, the board would also have to address the virulence and the contagiousness of specific conditions.
I wanted to ask you about the statutory interpretation questions that I was discussing with appellant's counsel. So how do you read 1114K, even if there can be an extended causal chain, which Payne said, does there have to be a condition, a disability, some type of physical or mental impairment at the end of the chain to satisfy 1114K, which specifically says, references back to the disabilities specified in this subsection. Does the loss of use of a creative organ have to itself come from some type of impairment?
Yes, Your Honor. In pain, it was erectile dysfunction. And what appellant's counsel references, loss of libido, loss of sex drive, and those are DSM-5 diagnoses. So in each of those cases, there is a diagnosis.
And along those same lines, in section 1110 of the code, it starts out by saying for disability incurred in service, the government will pay compensation as provided in this subsection or subchapter, excuse me. So starting out with for disability, and then we will pay as laid out in this subchapter, which includes 1114K, doesn't that suggest that all compensation would flow from something that is a disability? And can it be a disability if there's no physical or mental impairment, if it's based simply on, as the appellant argued in his briefing, a change in behavior?
Your Honor, addressing the plain language, a change is simply not a loss. And that is what we are ultimately looking for in awarding compensation. And really accepting appellant's rule would require looking at context, whether appellant's partner is, again, the issue would be mooted if appellant has a partner who is affected with hepatitis C, or if appellant's partner becomes affected. We are looking at conditions organic to the veteran. And based on the language Congress chose, and I think this discussion illustrates the complications that this analysis requires, it's clear that Congress did not intend SMCK for veterans who have sexually transmitted infections and simply choose to wear condoms. And turning to the issue of the increased rating for hepatitis C, are there any further questions on the SMCK issue? No. The court's finding that a 10% rating was not factually ascertainable before May 20th, 2016 is not clearly erroneous, and the board supported its determination with an adequate statement of reasons or bases. And the 2016 examiner found that appellant had intermittent fatigue, malaise, and anorexia that was attributable to hepatitis C. And that was the first time in, that was the first occurrence in the record, the first evidence that appellant had these symptoms and that those symptoms were attributable to hepatitis C. Appellant, and this was based on an in-person examination, and really appellant would require that the board engage in speculation in determining an earlier date of when that increase might have occurred, which is quite literally the opposite of what factually ascertainable means. Appellant asserts that an earlier date might be plausible. That's speculative and really would not arise to clear error. And appellant effectively argues that VA would have to presume an increase that was factually ascertainable before the exam. And really there's no evidence that before that examination, again, a finding made by the board, and the board discussed relevant evidence that shows that appellant had fatigue, malaise, and anorexia that was attributable to hepatitis C before that date. And anorexia would be a loss of appetite. So the mere fact that appellant might have lost weight really isn't relevant. And appellant has described his appetite as great in both June and September 2014. So again, we find that the court should find that the board provided adequate statement of reasons or bases. Concluding, we ask that the court hold that the use of a condom to avoid the transmission is not a loss of use, and that appellant fails to show error with the board's finding that increased ratings were not factually ascertainable before May 20th, 2016. And we ask that the court affirm the board's March 13th, 2019 decision. Thank you.
Mr. Moran, rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. As a preliminary matter, just to clarify, the counsel for the secretary suggested that in pain, all of the steps in the causal chain between a service-connected disability and loss of use were a disease or disability. That is not correct. In pain, one of the links in the causal chain between the service-connected disability and loss of use was obesity. And in OJC's precedential decision 1-2017, the secretary concluded that obesity is neither a disease nor a disability. And that distinction is important, because just as in pain, where the causal chain included something that was a disability, and the court held that so long as the start of the causal chain as a legal matter may warrant a grant of SMCK, here, the start of the chain is a service-connected disability, and that is the end of the matter. The secretary emphasized that there's no evidence the veteran wants children, that he may not want children. None of that is relevant. Entitlement to SMCK turns on loss of sexual function, not on the whether the veteran, as a factual matter, wants to have additional children. Beyond that, moreover, the secretary's speculation about whether there is in fact a causal link between the service-connected hepatitis C and the veteran's condom use is immaterial, because the board already reached that conclusion that hepatitis C causes the veteran to use a condom. This court can only review in the event of clear error, which the record does not show and the secretary has not asserted. Most importantly, the secretary insists that the veteran's creative organ is normal. It is not. Normal creative organs cannot transmit hepatitis C. The veterans in this case does have a risk of transmitting hepatitis C, as we noted in our reply brief. This abnormality is directly attributable to the service-connected disorder, and it is persistent. Moreover, to the extent the secretary insists that choice breaks the causal chain, but cites no regulatory basis for that conclusion, nor can one be found. The regulatory structure for SMC is quite clear. Where the secretary wants a voluntary choice, in this case condom use, to break a causal chain, the secretary has said so. Finally, with regard to the matter of scheduler ratings, the secretary insists that a remand for a retrospective medical opinion would have required the board to indulge in speculation. This is not so. In fact, what the board did in its decision was not only speculative, determining that symptoms arose on the date of VA examination, but flatly contradicted by evidence within the examination that symptoms had been intermittent prior to the date of exam. That word intermittent itself implies a retrospective view of the veteran's medical history. And Chota directs that where a question reasonably arises as to when symptoms arose or the severity of a disability change, VA has an obligation to resolve that ambiguity through medical evidence, not lay speculation by the board. Where in this case, the medical evidence raised but did not resolve that question, and the board was required to obtain that retrospective opinion. Your Honors, unless there are any further questions from the bench, I would conclude the appellant's remarks, and again thank the court for its time.
Judge Greenberg, do you have any further questions?
I do not.
Judge Meredith?
I do not. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both, counsel, and the case is going to be submitted. Thank you.
Court is in recess.